Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, happy holidays again here on Circles of Change. It's a pleasure always to have an in-studio guest. So Jennifer Utch, who is owner and artist behind Jendala.com. Welcome to the studio, Jen.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Zara.
It's a real pleasure. Well, we're catching you at a right time. You're still decompressing from last weekend's 4th Avenue Street Festival then?
Yes.
Oh, great. How was the show for you?
It was a beautiful show. The weather was flawless. And right in time for the rainy day today.
So that's
we're all very appreciative that the sun was out and the crowds were out.
Great. Well, great. Let me give an introduction. Artisan Jennifer Utch believes that there is connection between creativity, the environment, and universal growth. And her metal business, Jendala, continues to manifest with this mission in mind. In other words, soulful art that will uplift the spirit and encourage positive thoughts. Sustainable, inspiring, affirmational, and colorful, Jendala creations bring a smile through uniqueness, forming words and shapes from recycled metal. Jen's current products include hanging affirmation chimes, metal flags, dog tags, jewelry holders, and garden stakes. Based out of Healdsburg, California, which is in Northern California in the wine country, Jen's work is handcrafted from recycled reclaimed materials. So the metal is cut and painted, then assembled with select beads and bells purchased from sustainable workshops in India and Indonesia. A native of Virginia, Jen originally diverted from her love of art to study Spanish and international relations in college in the Rockies, in fact, and followed an exciting and rewarding stepping stone career path that included law enforcement, firefighting, and real estate. But in 1998, she realized that wasn't where fulfillment was for her, so she returned to her first love and, as she says, connected the dots and looped back to start her business. So with that, I would like our listeners, if you're upstreaming us right now, to go to Jendala, Jendala.com, to see the works we're going to talk about. And also you might take note that, Jen, you've picked up on one of my favorite quotes that I often speak to by Raina Marie Rilke, which is, live your questions now, and perhaps even without knowing, you'll live along some distant day into your answers. Why did that quote strike you so much that you've got it here on your website?
I think it's because I had life so great in Tucson, and I was growing really quick in the Rural Metro Fire Department, and I kept yearning to put my hands on art projects. And so I just kept continuing my passion for making art, and here I am right now cutting metal every day.
Doing it every day.
Yeah.
So you actually were doing your metal work while you were working here in Tucson.
I was.
It was, okay. And so what was it, the trip point, though, that gave you the courage to say, it's time, I'm letting go of all these other things and going to circle back to my art?
Well, it was definitely a process. I was working quite a few different jobs as I was creating the product line. The beginning of the process was a chandelier made out of recycled cans that caught my eye. And because of the firefighting background, I had learned a little bit of the torch and started collecting cans, and friends were so supportive in the area. Before I knew it, I had a whole backyard filled with cans.
Recycled material, yeah.
Recycled cans, and a torch was brought over to my house, and I just couldn't keep my hands off of it.
So the working with the flame, and so there is that obvious connection to firefighting, but had you done torch work any other time in your life?
No, I actually hadn't done any artistic project for probably 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. So there must have been this welling sense of freedom when that started happening then.
Absolutely.
And so your decision then to select to move to Northern California, was that from here to there, or did you do some other experimenting in the process?
Yeah, living here in Tucson in the summer, it gets so hot, so torching. I'm not even sure what the temperatures are, but outside torching, because you can't do that indoors, was a little bit too much for my body. And so in the summer times, I would take off and go up to Northern California and do a lot of their street festivals up there. So year after year, I was traveling up there for the summer. And 6 years ago, I decided to make the leap and go up to Northern California and make it a go and start a studio.
Now, when you and I were speaking about how you came to vector in on Healdsburg, that you actually had in mind a triangle. So tell our audience about that. the different location possibilities?
Oh, so when I moved up, of course, Northern California is quite a big area. So I put myself a little painted triangle and kept myself within that area of searching. So it was between Santa Cruz, Healdsburg, and Lake Tahoe. And I just happened to find the perfect little home up in Healdsburg, California.
So take us on a virtual tour now of your studio.
Oh, now I have. Now I used to be in the home. And opening in March, I opened a 1,500 square foot studio right behind our city hall with an industrial door and a real office and a loft. And it has a little kitchen and bathroom, and it's just perfect for where we're at right now.
Well, and you know, for many people to see something like that manifest in 5 years, that's almost record-breaking time, really.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That's
I feel
right.
Very grateful. As a matter of fact, about a year and a half ago, I decided to quit my business. And I spent about 6 months relishing in the idea of not having to work on my website or my brochure or applying for more trade shows. And all of a sudden, business started coming to me. So I realized to stay in the moment with my business and to be appreciative and hold the gratitude and really living my words and staying in that process was a big teaching process. So letting go, the business really just started snowballing and coming towards me.
Letting go for it then to snowball.
Yeah.
Were there just a set of circumstances? Was it fatigue, do you think? Or you had been just so immersed during those first 4 years in doing what you did?
It was definitely the product line. And as you grow as an artist, you definitely have to be thinking about production and keeping stores happy while you're managing your finances. And for me, what had happened is that I ran into an issue with torching too much, and the painting became toxic. Where when I started, I thought the painting was such a great idea. I really am attracted to bright colors, so letting go of the painting process was not an option.
Right.
And so the coming into where I'm at now of figuring out how I'm going to cut the metal and paint the metal was a process. And I think it just exhausted me. And once I had it all done, it was like, okay, the little baby's finished. I'm quitting. And I realized after that was all said and done, the business started picking up and walking for me, and that was really exciting.
Well, and in fact, that's, any books that you read about entrepreneurs or solopreneurs like you are, that one thing you have to be really careful, it's one thing to actually be the artist, but it's another thing to be the business of the artist. So, you know, during those few years of realizing you at the same time were learning how to do the website and keeping your books and then traveling, like you said, was it not a challenge to find that right balance?
It's always a balance of finding that balance. It's always a balance of finding the balance. It's the simplicity. And what's so fun about my product is that it's such a simple product, but it was years and years of ahas to develop such a simple product line. And now,
so explain that product line for those who wouldn't have advantage. Again, we're speaking with Jennifer Utch, and her website is jendala.com, Jendala. So give us an overview of some of the pieces they will see when they look out on the site.
Well, my favorite product line is a very interactive, very personable product. I call them affirmation chimes. I couldn't really come up with anything more descriptive. And you can pick a word and you can pick an ornament and combine them together, depending on what expression that you want in your life or your friend's life. So it's a big difference of whether you put an affirmation chime in your front yard as compared to your backyard or in your kitchen. So in my kitchen, I ended up putting focus because I kept burning the bread,
yeah,
and a little smiley face so I wouldn't get so
upset
when I did burn it. And I haven't burned any bread since I've put the focus chime in my kitchen.
How about that? And so what would be the front yard chime? Would that be welcome?
Or? Welcome or namaste, beloved, yeah. Blessed. Yeah, it really just depends on the nature of the individual. And
our listeners should know that I met Jen courtesy of her mother, who lives here in town. And Jen was so nice to send me an affirmation chime that said, no surprise, change. And then also a second one that says woof because of our love of dogs. So I thank her for both of those.
Yeah, it's been an awesome experience being able to bring certain words into my life. It was an interesting experience a few years ago after I totaled my car. I had probably 4 months when I first moved up to California of just heartache after heartache. And a lady came into my booth asking for the word embrace. Hmm. And lo and behold, didn't have the word embrace. And I have the word embrace now. So the product line definitely.
So you indeed have standard words in your product line, but then also you do custom work for people if they're interested?
Most definitely. And a lot of times the custom words will end up making their way into the product line.
Sure. It's like restaurants that decide to experiment with a special of the week and realize that 80% of the people that walked in ordered the special. And so they'll put it on the menu.
Most definitely.
Well, the fact that you include the selected beads and bells that you get from workshops in India and Indonesia, how did you make those connections?
That was a process as well. The beads, I ended up finding an amazing cooperative that supports families in Indonesia, and I get them here in Tucson from the Gem and Mineral Show, so I'm able to purchase them from Indonesian families, and it's all recycled glass, and that was a nice find, and they've been around for over 30 years.
Wow, that's great.
And
it's consistent with your whole desire to use recycled and reclaimed products.
Yeah. And then the bells I get from an area in India called Gujarat, and it's once again families that are sustainable, and one of these years I'd love to go out there and
I was going to ask, have you traveled to the locations yet?
Not yet. So.
But it's a matter of time before you will, I'm sure.
2012.
There you go. That's your intention. That's your intention for the year. You know, I know, I mentioned in the introduction your early career experiences, you know, law enforcement, firefighting, and real estate. How might those experiences play into what you're doing today and as successful that you are in doing what you're doing?
Well, I think with the law enforcement, it really has helped me come out of my shell a little bit and be a little bit more assertive. I sometimes tend to sit back and watch things happen around me instead of getting involved and creating the change. So the law enforcement has given me the courage to step forward and just go for it.
And you're in very unpredictable situations. I mean, from one artist show to another artist show, you never quite know, even if you've been to the same show year after year, right? It's the conditions are different, crowds are different, your location's different.
Yeah, it's kind of like visiting a casino every weekend, pretty much.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then the whole firefighting, you made mention to, now that you're comfortable with working with the torch and fire, other experiences from firefighting, probably, what, unpredictable nature of it?
Well, I think with firefighting, it was the academy, actually, that brought me so much appreciation of fire and the qualities, the characteristics, and being immersed, working with a torch every day. I think it was the firefighting that brought me the appreciation of what fire actually is.
Which is, it's no minor thing to work with metal and fire. You know, you've got to have a touch and a skill to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
It's fun.
That's fun. And then real estate?
And then real estate really gave me the ability to keep the business organized and to put things in the Excel and all those other programs that keep your office contained. And that's probably one of the most important parts of the business.
Which, again, for particularly solopreneurs, as we said earlier, and those that are in the artistic field, some of those skills don't come naturally. I mean, that can really be where the push and the teardown comes in maintaining it, to still be able to sequester the time for your creative venues.
Yes. And I've chose to make it fun. So now
you can make accounting fun, and you had explained that one to me.
It's not working real estate, so it's something I'm working for myself. So keep hitting the reset button and realize I'm doing this to grow my business and learning new programs. And
it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Well, Jen, I also know you've had some special projects along the course of this journey that you taught some workshops at one time in Mexico.
I did.
Yeah, what was that all about, and how'd you end up doing that?
I was doing some environmental conferences down in Tijuana. I was invited down there with EPA, and it was quite an amazing project of meeting other people that were making quite sustainable projects all of North America. So I was invited to participate in a couple grants down in Mexico.
And what were you doing there then?
So I went down there to teach a cooperative of women. I ended up buying torches for them and had them torching for me some of the candle holders that I used to make.
Oh, how wonderful.
So at one time I had a group of 18 women, and then it solidified down to 5 core women for about 2 years that were making products for me and bringing them back up into the States and reselling them.
That's great. And so have you kept track of the women that had the opportunity to learn this? Did they go off to use their skills in other ways? Do you know?
I haven't. I would love to go back down there and
You'll be able to give them a podcast link and find them again.
Absolutely.
So they can know you can
Maybe they're listening.
That's true. They could be listening. And then also you were involved in Angel Lights for the New York firefighters that were lost in 9/11. Again, that story.
It was a dream. I just woke up from a dream that I had made candle holders for all of the firefighters that had died. At that point, I was making candle holders. I was making candle holders out of recycled cans, and figuring out a way that I could manifest the dream. I realized I could make patio lights for each of the individual fire stations. So I made a little spreadsheet and combined which firefighters and ladders were a part of which station, and made each individual candelabra with the firefighter's name on it and delivered them to the fire stations. I think I have probably three stations left to go.
Oh, my goodness. So what was the total number you did?
My gosh. I think there was probably 30 stations.
30 stations.
In a while now, but I think there were 30 fire stations.
Boy, and so that connects as well back to your having been with the Metro Fire Department here in
Absolutely.
Tucson. That's great.
Yeah.
And the reception that you got when you had the chance to go deliver those then, because you traveled back east to deliver them?
It was very humbling.
Yeah.
Very humbling, and they were just filled with so much gratitude. And it had just occurred. It was probably 2 months afterwards that I had made the trip over there. And so there was still a lot of healing being, I'm sure there's still a lot of healing, but.
Here we are 10 years beyond it and exactly whatever played out this year. Well, the idea of training others, so. Since that time you were doing the workshop in Mexico, have you leveraged other people to expand your business in terms of being able to cope with volumes? And
Well, now I'm fortunate enough. I take all of my designs and I put them on a computer. So I transitioned this
technology.
About 2 years ago. And a very dear friend of mine, actually close here to Tucson in Bisbee, cuts all of my metal for me. And I'm pretty much one of his only bosses.
Who
would
go.
Hate for me to say that, but so it's been an amazing transition to where I've been able to let go of part of the production end, and I have him cut the metal and then send it back to me, and then we do the painting and assembling.
Isn't that neat? But tell me, do you do metal sculptures for yourself then, or you know the imagery that you're using, this affirmation chimes and so on, the fact you've gone into other. Metal products, for example, dog tags. I know you're a dog lover, so is that how that came about then?
Yes, I can take my original designs. So I'm still doing a lot of torching of just original designs. And what's so fun about the water jet that we're using is we can take a bigger design that I made and we can make it small.
Smaller, exactly.
And when I was torching, it was a really difficult process of getting really small and in detail. So thank goodness for technology, we're able to make bookmarks now and expand the product line and what I wouldn't have been able to do before.
Oh, that's right. The process of selecting what shows to go to, has this been over the years, I'd like to see that town, so that's where I'm going? Or how did you come to decide? Because on an annual basis, how many different artisan shows do you do? You ever taken a count?
I haven't counted lately. I've definitely have cut back on doing a lot of the shows. And before it was putting my eggs in all of the baskets, doing all of the trade shows, doing all of the retail shows. And now I'm picking the places that I want to go to and picking the places of where the festivals are upbeat and fun. And Tucson's still on that list.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what kind of festivals do you enjoy going to then in general?
I love going to a lot of the street festivals are fun, and then there are a couple of mountain fairs.
Mountain fair. What's a mountain fair all about? I mean, obviously it's held in the mountains, but is it different in terms of the schedule of the day or activities, the type of clientele?
Yeah, there's one in particular in Carbondale, Colorado, and it's the entire community that pulls together, and they create what they call a mountain fair in their little park. So it's the entire community comes together. They all volunteer for the festival for the weekend, and they come out and we listen to music and people buy art and eat food, and the ambiance is really nice. It's nice to see communities really pull together.
And you've been doing this now for how many years have you been traveling to the artists and shows then?
I think 11 years.
11 years.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering in this, certainly this past year, the last couple years with the economy tightening down, a different mood or different dynamics play out at these festivals vis-a-vis beforehand for you?
It's definitely shaken up the artist. A lot of artists that have been doing retail are now doing wholesale.
Yeah.
And wholesale meaning you're selling to stores and you set up in a convention center, a little bit more of a formal environment. But also a lot of the wholesale artists are now coming retail. There's also more website building and people doing more social media to connect with artists.
Are you finding that's working to your advantage right now? I know you have a website. You
can
check
is.
That, jendala.com, and you hit PayPal, and there you're there.
Absolutely. One of my intentions for 2012 is to come up with a way of being more sustainable as an artist, so we're not on the road traveling so much, and we can stay at home and make our products and still be able to reach our customers, and that's still in the works.
Because there's, like you said, how do you get that real sense of community then, and to hear the music, you know, and taste the local fare when you're sitting in California? Although it's not a bad place to be sitting from, for sure.
Not a bad place to be sitting at
That's
all.
That's good. When you see the age distribution of the artists and the artistins, from every walk of life still at this point?
Absolutely.
Yeah? And yep. The younger artists you see, any interesting threads of commonality amongst them, or still quite the gamut and the choice?
I think it's quite the gamut, quite the choice. Definitely, there's definitely a community. Every show that I go to, I'm finding what we call family artists, and so there's definitely a group of artists that are all connected and know each other from show to show.
Show to show, and generation to generation.
Absolutely.
In some regard. The fact that you've chosen to use sustainable approach and recycled materials and so on, were you one that always had a respect for the environment from younger years, or was it the fact that you started your business and people gave you materials to start with? I mean, why has that been an anchor for you?
It's just understanding how energy works and knowing that you can't keep putting things out there if there is no replenishing of it. So I think it's just been an understanding and a growing as I've been aging in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So, recycling has always been a big part of my life.
And the this idea of being independent, did you think that that was going to be in the cards for you?
Absolutely.
You did. Because actually, you know, being a firefighter, you know, or in law enforcement, there's a high dependency amongst the team and the community.
I think it was those jobs that helped me realize the importance of being self-employed and creating something that meant something to me.
That's great. Well, it's been a wonderful opportunity to speak with Jennifer Utch, and it's her last name, U-T-S-C-H. But go out and folks and search jendala.com. And then also, how could people get a hold of you if they'd want to call, Jen?
The studio number is 707-431-1016. Or you can always email me at hello@jendala.com. And we're on Facebook.
Wonderful. And I assume you enjoy the opportunity of people who are cruising the greater wine country to swing in for a tour, an opportunity to meet you personally.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Come on by.
Excellent. Well, happy holidays. Glad you're part of the Tucson 4th Avenue Street Fair. We'll catch up with you this spring or next year this time as well to watch how your work has progressed, Jen.
Awesome. I'm really excited. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580. Ben, it's a pleasure to have had you.